Hello, and welcome to the Carriers of Hope podcast. Are you tired of always striving for something and ending up at a dead end? Are you sick of searching in all the wrong places in hopes that you'll find your true identity? Do you want to find healing and walk in the freedom that it brings? Do you desire to have authentic relationships in your day-to-day life? Then this is the podcast for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sandy Cortez. This podcast will help you find truth, healing, and freedom, and will empower you to find your true identity. You will learn how to apply practical tools to teach you how to strive no longer, bring forth healing from your past wounds, and break away from your negative mindset. Let's begin this journey to help you start living the life you were intended to live. So grab your pen and paper, and let's start to rewrite your story. Hey guys, welcome to episode 16. Today, I just want to go ahead and start right into this topic. And basically, it's going to be called the 10 basic steps on how to tend to life challenges and goals. And I wanted to just start off with a question to ask you on, have you ever attempted to grow a garden? And if so, what was that like for you? I attempted to grow that several years back, and I did not know how much time this would entail. And then I figured out I am not much of a green thumb kind of person. So today I want to give you an analogy of how to tend to the things of your life, your goals, your dreams, your life challenges. And I want to play the analogy of how it is to build a garden. There are 10 basic steps on how to start a garden. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I never knew of that. And the more research I did, I thought the analogy of a garden is so good to use with things in our life, challenges, dreams, and goals. The very first thing that I want to hit on is you have to decide when you're going to build a garden, what are you going to like to grow? You got to choose a location. You got to plan with the right garden beds. You got to invest in basic garden tools. You have to test your soil. You got to prepare the soil. You got to choose the right seeds or what you're going to transplant into your garden from another area. You also have to learn to plant with care and also nurture your garden so that you can enjoy your harvest. So I want to break down these analogies with things in our life and life challenges, our dreams, our goals, and use this analogy as a foundation for our minds, our perspective, and our hearts. Very first question that I want to ask you is, in this garden, what do you want to grow in your life? Now, let's say the garden is the garden of your heart. What is it that you're trying to grow in your life? Or what have you been growing? If you want to grow something in your life, we got to find out what's the location. What area in your life do you want to begin with? Where do you want to start at? Let's say you want to grow in kindness, forgiveness, right? Then that's where we start. That's the location we're going to hone in on. Now, here's some of the things that we as individuals are challenged by, and even with some of my clients that I speak with, is the simple fact that they have 5 million things that are going on in their lives and they want to try to tackle all those. Well, I just want you to focus on one thing today. Locate one thing in your heart that you want to grow in. Then you got to figure out what tools or what garden beds. So how much do you want to grow in this area? And you've got to start small. Like, I want to lose weight. So if you want to lose weight, got to get the right tools. Got to set the right goal, realistic goal. Got to hone in on that. So with the garden beds, as a gardener does, he finds the actual location of where it's going to be and then builds around that. So what are you going to build around this goal or this life struggle for you? Then what tools are you going to use? So I use the example of losing weight. You've got to invest in the tools that you need. So whether it is to join a gym, to get counseling, to reach out to a mentor, what are the tools that you are going to need to grow in that area of your life to reach that small goal? One of the things that my husband always says that I love, he says, you know, you get what you pay for. Well, when I was building my garden, guys, I got some cheapy tools. I probably went to Dollar Tree and got them. And my husband's looking at me like, what are you doing? And you get what you pay for. And I found the frustration of tools breaking down on me. Well, yeah, I paid a dollar for them. But whatever it is and the tools that you're going to apply to your life in order to bring change has to be just sustainable, have to be strong. It can't be poor quality, you know, or a generic kind of thing. You've got to be realistic in the tools that you're going to apply. And with the tools that you're going to apply, you're going to have to maintain those tools. So let's say for losing weight, again, that you decide you're going to join a gym. Or you decide, you know what, I can't afford a gym. I'm going to go walking in my neighborhood. Or if you live in an apartment, then you can go to the community gym that they have. But you have to maintain those tools going in order for you to begin to grow. So you got to make that investment. The other one is you got to test your soil. Are there things in your heart or in your life today that have already been sitting there that can also contaminate where you're about to grow in, the goals that you're trying to set? Is there things that are sitting underground that you know are there that you have to deal with first in order to bring new growth? So that's going to be important, is to test the grounds and the soil of your heart and your mind. Let's say like in your heart, there's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's resentment, there's hatred. Well, if you want to work on kindness, you may have to go back and address these little things on, I want to be more kind. Okay, well, anytime that those things spew up, those weeds in our lives spew up, we've got to talk to those weeds and cut them through the root of it so it doesn't return. Then you have to build your soil. You got to pour into it so that it grows. You got to water it. If you want to lose weight, have you ever met people that want something but are not willing to work for it? Are not willing to do what it takes to achieve the goal, to become better in a certain area of their life? They want it, but are not willing to do what it takes. It's the heart's desire. They want to change. They don't necessarily know how. They don't do absolutely nothing about it. Step 7 is choose the right seeds or whatever you're going to transplant into your life. Choose the right seeds. What would be the best to plant here? What would be the best goal for you to achieve? And be careful about grabbing someone else's ideas or transplanting someone else's ideas and making it seem like it's yours, or wanting to be in comparison to them. So you apply that because that's what seemed that worked with the family. And I want to hit a little bit on this. I spent many years with my family doing the same thing. There was a particular family in my life where I wanted to mimic them. I saw, well, that's what it takes to be a successful family, and let me do what they're doing. And it was tiresome. It didn't pan out like I thought. I'm like, I'm making all those moves and it's not working for me that way. And one day God just said to me, I haven't called you to be so-and-so family. I've called you to be the Cortez family. And you guys are different. You're extraordinary, and you're going to do different things with your life. And this family is so different. I haven't called you to mimic someone else. I've called you to be original and be who I've called you to be. And that really ministered to me. I had to let go of comparison. So even as you choose the right seeds or try to transplant things in your life, you got to make sure that you're not transplanting something that, okay, let's try and see if it works. But sometimes those transplants don't work because that's not what the plan that God has for you is, or to mimic someone else. And maybe, yes, it may have worked for them, but there's no guarantee that it'll work for you. That's the same thing with me in counseling. I love CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. And that's my like go-to because I really believe about thoughts and emotions and behaviors. But not everybody can do well with CBT. And I know that as a therapist, knowing that, I know that, okay, that may not work with them. And I've seen clients that I've tried it with and it didn't work, but yet it worked for 10 other ones. And so you have to be careful that you don't try to mimic or transplant something that may have worked for someone else that may not be for you. So you got to choose your seeds, the right seeds that you want to plant in these areas of your life in order for them to grow and flourish and bring healing to you. Then step 8 is to plant with care. Take time to really plant with care and deep into the crevices of your heart and mind. Begin to notate things in your life that, you know what, I really need to take care of this area of my life. I need to be more kinder to myself. I need to have more compassion with myself. I need to be more graceful with myself, because I find myself being so critical of me, it doesn't do anything for me. And I'm not really sure who this is for, because that wasn't even in my notes. So whoever's out there dealing with being critical with themselves and hating themselves, I'm here to tell you, be kind to yourself. Be graceful. Allow grace. And always remember, one of the things that I always tell my clients, and I've said on this podcast many, many times, is that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Maybe you're repeating something that you saw that was kind of like transplanted in you growing up. Doesn't mean it's the right way or wrong way, but maybe that way will not work for you and your family. And so please be mindful to know, like, you know what, I am critical. Why am I so critical of myself? Well, I can talk to that space because growing up, my father was very critical and would nitpick at certain things in my life. And I was the worst critic. And how many of us can be the worst critic of our own lives? Like, we don't need somebody to talk negative about us or talk down to us. We can do that all by our lonesome. And so whoever is listening today, I'm speaking to that inner critic person inside of you and telling you it's time to be graceful to you. It's time to extend grace and forgive yourself for whatever it is that you continue to replay like a record player in your mind and begin to love you. Plant with care was step number 8. So use care when it comes to your growing, whatever it is that you're trying to grow in this season of your life, use care and caution. Be careful how you approach things, and remember to use self-care. Step 9 is nurture your garden. Make time for those things. There's an old saying with gardening, best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow. So what that means is you've got to show up to the game. You've got to show up for those things that you're growing. You got to attend to those things that you have set out to do and said, I want to grow in this, but you're not showing up, then how are you going to grow? I want to say that saying again. The best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow. So guys, you got to show up to the game. You got to show up for your goals. You are worthy of that. You are worthy of giving that time for yourself and setting that goal for yourself and growing in that. If not, then you're going to remain the same. What? If you don't make time for it, then you might as well not even start with those goals or that change that you set out to do. You got to make sure that you're watering these areas of your life that are going to help you to grow. But you also have to be careful with the bugs that try to eat away at your growth. Let's talk about some of those bugs that could eat away at resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, comparison, denial, disappointment, hopelessness, shame, and guilt, to name a few. Then the very last step is enjoy your harvest. Enjoy the goal that you have achieved. Let's say that you wanted to lose 5 pounds within a month. And let's say you got 3 pounds. Enjoy the wins. Enjoy the 3 pounds and then reevaluate your goals or those areas that you're trying to grow in and tweak them and know like, okay, this didn't work what I set out to do. Maybe not being realistic with yourself, like saying I'm going to work out 7 days a week and your schedule doesn't allow 7 days a week. So let's condense it down to 4 or 5 days a week. Okay. And that's what you did different. You set these high expectations, but then you didn't show up to the game for whatever reason. Busyness of life kicks in. Sometimes when we don't have these things in the forefront of our mind or written somewhere, we forget what we're trying to grow in and the goals that we're trying to achieve, even the things that we're trying to get rid of that we know are not good for us. If you achieve those goals, you want to eat the fruit of your labor, like enjoy, celebrate, get together with some friends and let them know, hey, guess what? I used to be very short circuit and now I find myself more patient. Or I used to hold on to things really close to the heart and I'm learning to let it go. And celebrate the wins, even if it's the small wins. Celebrate those victories because you're further now into this than when you first started. And what's really cool about even a garden is that what didn't work, you can tweak it and try something else. Now, I've come to the terms that I am not a green thumb, so honey, I am not working on no garden. Now, I have some friends out there that have gardens, and they attend to it every single day, you know, clean up the weeds and take out the old soil, put new soils, new plants, new this, water it, all of that. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested. In my world, everything looks green, not like, you know, colorful. But in my world, when I think of like landscape and garden, everything is green in my mind. But there's such a beauty. I will say this, when I was doing my gardening, was that I was growing and I felt like God was talking to me and telling me different nuggets when I would plant something and would even tell me on the seeds that I was planting that I needed to go deeper. Like there's a 3-inch, you know, like planting that I had to do. I just couldn't put things on the surface. So that even in your life, I want you to look at things. Do not go surface with me, people. You've got to be real. No surface stuff. If that's the kind of person that you've been for a long time, I want to challenge you to go deeper. Go deeper in your relationships. Go deeper in your walk with God. Go deeper in your area that you feel the most challenged in. Or go deeper in, this is where I need to grow. And come face to face with the reality of whatever that area is in your life. Now, for those people that really enjoy gardening, this should be really good for you because you're probably enjoying and eating all this up as I'm talking about gardening. But even gardening is known and it's good for your health. It even helps with depression. It even helps to reduce stress and even diet. One of my friends actually has a garden and she plants all her seasonings, all her vegetables. Everything is organic. Beautiful, beautiful garden. And she attends to it every single day and looks at it. And like I remember my friend having her speak with my husband, asking her why the leaves were being filled with bugs and they were eating away at some of the stuff that she was trying to grow. And my husband explained different kinds of pesticides that you've got in, put in it, things that could be eating away at it and watching out for those things. And so this analogy of gardening is beautiful. And guess what? Even if you're not a person who enjoys gardening or has built a garden, the cool thing is that you can be the gardener of your life. You get to decide what you're going to grow, what you're going to pull out. You get to decide on how you're going to nurture it and bring those things to life. And even there's weed killer out there, even that just pesticide that you can spray over those things over your life that have kept you stuck, that have kept you depressed, that have kept you in stress, that have kept you angry, that have kept you bitter. It's time to look at those areas of our lives. So I want to go over these 10 steps very quickly. Number one is, what do you want to grow in your life? Or what have you been growing? Number two, choose a location in your life where you want to start. Number three is, plan well. And how much do you want to grow in this area? Start small, planting those garden beds. Number four, invest in the tools that you need. So let's say that there's been life challenges that have been going on. I want to challenge you to seek out a therapist or a coach that can help you grow and hold you accountable to these things in your life. Number five is, you got to test what's in your heart. Test your soil. What's laying in there dormant that you haven't addressed in your life that you need to? That may have the bugs in there, that may have rocks in there, or things that are not supposed to be in those soils. It's time to start digging deeper to find out what is in my heart, what is in my mind. Then you begin to, step six is, build your soil. You begin to pour into those areas so that it can grow. Number seven is choosing the right seeds or transplant. So remember when I talked earlier about the seeds. Be careful on what you plant. Like, know what you want to grow and what seeds those are. And also be careful of what you transplant, because a lot of times you can't really transplant those things in your life because that's not who you are. And you're trying to venture out to do something that may have worked for someone else that may not be working for you or will ever work for you because that's not who God made you to be. He didn't make you to be a replica of someone and to transplant those things of your life. He made you to be original and authentic. And sometimes, like I said, those things that we try to transplant, like comparison, or let me try this because it worked for them, may not work for you. And some I've seen that does work. Like I said earlier regarding my therapy skills and what orientations I use with different clients. CBT doesn't always work, right? So I even have to try different modalities of therapy with different clients. Number 8, plant with care. Take time to really plant with care and dig deeper into the crevices of your heart and use care and caution of what you're taking out and taking in. Number 9 is nurture your garden. Remember what I said of that old saying with gardening, the best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow. You've got to show up for the game. So if you don't take time for it, then you might as well not even begin this process of change, growth, and healing, because you'll just wind up more frustrated. Remember to watch out for the bugs that try to eat at your vineyard and what you're planting. It's going to be really important. And number 10, begin to enjoy your harvest. Eat the fruit of your labor. The cool thing is that if you tried one particular thing to grow in and it didn't work with whatever tools you set into place, the cool thing is that you can go back and tweak whatever those goals are. Remember that this is going to give you more confidence in knowing that you're doing this for your health. It can help with your depression or anxiety. It can help to reduce stress. This is a great way to really begin to be the gardener of your heart, your life, your goals, even life challenges that you can apply these simple steps to. It's going to be to remain consistent in what you're venturing out to do and remember that you're worth taking the time to do that. So as we close, I want to give you some questions to really ponder on. Where are you growing in your life? What are those frustrating things that are eating away at you? What do you need to do with those things that are eating away at you? Do you need to call someone, have them hold you accountable? Do you need a counselor? Or even try God for the first time? I know that He's shown up in those dark moments of my life, and I can guarantee that He'll show up to yours. And last, what is it that you're believing for in your life? Is it restoration, healing? Is it hope? Is it to no longer be depressed or anxious? What are you believing for? And then I want you to write these things down and put them in your car, in your room, in the closet, so it reminds you what you're trying to focus on, what you're trying to get rid of, and what you are believing for. I want to leave you with this quote by Brené Brown. She says, "You either walk inside your story and own it, or you stand outside the story and hustle for your worthiness." Whatever you're facing today, just remember it's part of your story. Whatever life experiences that you have gone through, know that those are part of your story. And areas that you feel like, oh, well, this has happened and this has happened and no good is ever going to come out of this, it's time to change your perspective and decide to walk inside of your story and own it. Or you get to stand on the outside and do nothing about it. Which one will you choose today? Thank you for listening to the Carriers of Hope podcast. If you found value in today's episode, will you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the channel? And go ahead and leave me a review. Be sure to share it with your friends and family, and together we can help breathe hope one life at a time. If you're interested in doing a coaching session, let's connect at carriersofhope.com, and be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Carriers of Hope.